While we have designated this Sunday as a homecoming, not only because the Sunday obligation to worship during Sunday Holy Mass has been reinstated due to the subsiding of the pandemic, but also because we are celebrating 145 years as a parish. And we want to thank God for the gifts that He has given to this parish over the years. The many blessings, worship, fellowship, service, works of mercy, evangelization, and the many different things that have been done here to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and to build His church in Northwest Baltimore County, Southeastern Carroll County, and in other parts of this region. Certainly, as we have reached our 145th year, we've had a challenging experience, which continues. When we celebrated New Year's Day on 2020, we had a number of plans we have been working on, and we meaning the pastor with the pastoral staff and the lay leadership of the parish. We were thanking the Lord for the momentum that had begun for several years, a rise in Sunday Holy Mass and School of Religion attendance. We moved from having one pastor and one full-time staff member and two part-time staff members to three full-time staff members to accommodate the growth of the parish. We began successful programs for youth and young adults. We're planning to offer programs for other generations. By Easter of 2020, we wanted to have an adult choir at the Mass that had the most congregants. And we're going to plan a children's choir in September of 2020. Engage in a pastoral planning process as directed by the Archdiocese to put together a five-year plan. And we wanted to see about transforming our former school building into a pastoral center, moving the parish offices there so it'll be accessible to all people, creating meeting space, for even though we have a large footprint in Randallstown, we do not have a lot of meeting space, to renovate classrooms for our faith formation opportunities, to renovate the restrooms, to put in central air. Then it all stopped on March the 14th, 2020, when the Archbishop had to make a difficult decision to suspend public worship to help with the common good, to help our state to deal with a virus that was virulent and lethal, that was spreading rapidly, and there were a lot of unknowns about it. Certainly, it was put a shock to the system. You know, usually the Flocknote email system, I can see how many people actually have seen the email, not by name, so you're not going to get an email saying, "Why haven't you read my email?" but the percentage, and generally the percentage of people who read my emails, about 56 to 60% of 206 people. So I can't remember how many people were on Flocknote then, but the Flocknote that talked about the suspension of public worship, over 90% read that email. Hadn't even happened before, although it did happen in 1918 during the flu epidemic. Then, of course, people were touched by how the pandemic was affecting fellow citizens, but also it would visit their household. And we had several parishioners who died as a result, and whether parishioners died due to COVID-19 or for other reasons that affected the ability to grieve and the ability of people to support the families. A challenging experience. And now that it seems like the pandemic is subsiding, with the positivity rate in the state and in Baltimore and Carroll counties under 1%, we want to have hope that things are getting better. We have made gradual changes as directed by the Archdiocese. We don't have the blue tape any longer, and I miss the blue tape as much as I miss the cicadas that came to Randallstown and to Maryland. Want to have hope, but I temper the hope with the understanding that the pandemic is still here and that now the nation is dealing with a variant, the Delta variant of the virus, which wreaked havoc in India, which is spreading around the world, which is highly contagious and is in most states of the United States, which public health officials say can wreak havoc in areas where large numbers of people are not vaccinated. So we have hope, but I temper my expectations in case things have to change. Challenging experience. We could not conduct parish life as we used to. And I was upset because I could not minister like I used to. I felt guilty, even though some comorbidities happen because they're there. Certainly I could control some other comorbidities. And then we're trying to figure out how to reach out to the parish. There's no pandemic 101 in seminary formation. There'll never be. And yet, all of us are going through this challenging experience, still surviving, still standing. We have not given up. And in the gospel reading today, we're reminded how we should not give up. And while two healings are talked about, I only have time to focus on one. The adult woman who had dealt with hemorrhages for 12 years. And there seemed to be no remedy. And of course, it was a traumatic experience for her. She certainly remembered how she felt before she got ill. And now this thing has gone on for 12 years. And in addition to not finding a remedy for her ailment, she had to deal with the fact that she was ritually unclean because of the bleeding. Probably also had to deal with a theological opinion. It was never a doctrine among fellow Jews at that time, but some people did think that one was ill either due to personal, familial, or ancestral sin. And I'm sure people talked about, well, how come she cannot get better for 12 years? She asked that question herself. She had a challenging experience. And she could have given up, but she did not. She had heard about Jesus from others. Now, I've talked about the past several weeks that Jesus trusts in the power of our witness to him. And this woman would not have experienced her encounter with Jesus unless people had talked about Jesus. The witness of those who had encountered Jesus awakened faith in this woman. It was an instrument of God's grace. And so once again, do not discount the power of your witness to following the Lord Jesus Christ as members of his church. It will awaken faith in other people. God will use that witness to save someone just like this woman, experienced salvation. She did not give up. She heard about Jesus, and she then heard that Jesus was in the vicinity. And she was not going to allow a large crowd to get in the way. She went through the crowd. She courageously engaged in her faith. She put her faith to work, even though there were obstacles in the way. She put her faith to work, even though people did not recognize her. I'm grateful that during this pandemic, and of course before, you were putting your faith to work. We tried to establish contact with parishioners through phone conferencing, and people joined that, but then that was not working very well. So we began the live stream, and thankful for the 5 volunteers who helped me with that. People reached out through the live stream, even though they could not come to public worship, they wanted to worship. And then they encouraged one another in the comment section, hopefully not during Holy Mass, but they did. Then we used Zoom and Facebook Live to have faith formation opportunities for youth and adults. And parishioners made phone calls and wrote letters. I was wondering how I could reach out to you, and you reached out to me, sending encouraging letters, even calling me up to see how I was doing. But that was happening across the parish. While organizations could not hold events, they would meet anyway to check in on each other. When public worship resumed in June of 2020, we had the volunteers to be able to do that. We engaged in works of mercy, contributing to the food pantry, to the poor box, making care packages for the homeless, giving to the baby bottle campaign to help those in crisis pregnancies to choose life. We had a difficult experience, a challenging experience, but by the help of God, courageously engaged in our faith. Again, that faith, though, did not prevent us from trying to wrestle with the whole thing. And it is not against faith to wrestle with how God is present in the situation. I like to see myself as a person of faith. But what I was certainly upset when I had to pray with a family that could not see their loved one in person as he was dying. They had to say goodbye via Facebook, via FaceTime. I was upset when we were beginning Holy Week 2020. And while grateful to be with the 5 volunteers, I was going to look at the majority of worshipers via my iPhone camera. Other times in which I was upset, wrestling again with trying to minister to people thinking I was being inadequate. And I say these things because to give you permission to process how you have dealt with the pandemic and to process that with trusted people in your life and if need be, to seek counseling for it. The Archdiocese is preparing resources to help people to process. And there's no shame in seeking counseling and to avail yourself of that means for healing, because there are some things beyond the competence of myself, of Deacon Bill Arthur, of our pastoral associate, Darren Woodis, and our director of faith formation, Joanne Harvin Chin, and even our parish secretary, Terry Topol. And so I invite you to seek those means if you need to do so. That is another way to courageously engage in your faith, because maybe God wants to help you out through that means too. And don't use pride to say you don't need that kind of help. What was the result of the woman's courageous engagement of her faith? She reached the Lord. She touched his clothes. She experienced healing from her affliction. Jesus said, well, who touched me? The apostle said, well, how can we answer that question, Jesus? There's a great crowd around us. And it underscores that, yes, the Lord loves humanity. The Lord is conscious of what is happening to humanity collectively. But the Lord cares for us also personally, knows about us personally. A person asked me, how can God do that? Well, God is God. God can do that. When the woman noticed that Jesus was looking, she, even though she was fearful, she came to Jesus, told him the whole truth. And Jesus said, daughter, your faith has saved you. And even though he said, also you're cured your affliction, when he said, daughter, your faith has saved you, go in peace, he was talking about a deeper healing that all of humanity needs. As we heard in the first reading, God did not make death, but due to the envy of the devil, death came into the world when the first human beings did not trust God. But God made the means for us to overcome death. In the second reading, St. Paul said that he became poor. What St. Paul is talking about is not money, but Jesus became poor by coming to share in our humanity in all things but sin, so that we could become rich. You can have all the money in the world, but if God is not at the center of your life, and if God has not given you, if you have not received the gift of the forgiveness of sins, a framework for living, a fellowship with God that cannot be broken by death, you're the poorest person in the world. And yet, we testify that by sharing life and love with our God, we are rich beyond measure. This parish is rich beyond measure, again, in many blessings, so please still give to the Sunday offertory. Parish is rich in many blessings, not only during this pandemic, before it. And I am very optimistic that as we're on the road to recovery, the things that we were planning on New Year's 2020 will come to fruition now as we embark on our 146th year. Just like that woman who went forth in peace with confident expectations out her life, let us have a confident expectation of what God will continue to do in the life of Holy Family Parish.